Blog Talk Radio.
In this moment in time, and oh my gosh, I just feel so honored, you know, to sit with you and just everything that God is doing in you and through you and through this podcast, you know. So
thank
I'm loving
you so
it.
Much.
Yes, I'm here.
And when I tell you, it's really God. When I tell you, it's not me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is
yeah.
really God, like pushing me into just new levels and, you know, just a place of influence. And whether I was ready for it or not, it's like, okay, I've been preparing you for this, so let's do it. Now is the time. We're not waiting anymore. So here I am, and here you are, and I'm so glad that we connected, and I'm so glad that you're online tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So everyone, welcome, LaToya Moulton. And we'll just kind of get into you know, the call. And you guys, last time I was not able to take calls because I only did the show for an hour. So me and Tanya last week talked for an hour. So this week we're going to take calls. So apologies to anyone who was on here last week and we didn't take your call. So I'm sorry. But welcome again, LaToya. And if you could just tell the audience a little about you, a little bit about what you do, you know, just your purpose, your healing process, walking in kingdom authority, you know, walking in purpose, and how you kind of got started.
Okay. So, like, my journey to get me to this place where I am.
Yes. Yes.
Little snippet,
indeed.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't fit all of it in an hour. But
exactly.
So, once again, ladies, my name is LaToya Moulton. I am passionate about helping women, empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, and I was thinking about it today, you know, just preparing for the call, just thinking about, you know, just praying and meditating in my heart, and just thinking about my journey and how far God has brought me.
Yes.
And just the experiences that I have experienced in my life to get me to this place right now where I am, you know. And so whenever I get a chance, I love to talk about, you know, how God healed me from the traumatic trauma of molestation and sexual abuse as a young girl. Being exposed to that type of trauma and the emotional baggage that came with that, the guilt that came with it, the fear, the shame that came with, you know, the because of that experience and how I carried it for years and years and years and years, you know, and it created a dysfunction in my life. You know, I didn't fully show up in being the woman that I knew that God had called and purposed me to be. Because I lacked clarity. I lacked understanding because my vision was broken.
Exactly.
My vision was broken because I was broken. Mm-hmm. And I experienced that trauma in my life, and it caused me to view myself from a broken place. It caused me to view myself from a place of shame and embarrassment. So my voice was silent.
Yeah,
for a long time.
And the process of just going through things as children, they weigh so heavily on us, even in adulthood. Like, tomorrow I'm going to a high school to speak with, you know, high schoolers about their vision, because it's so detrimental that right, you know, those are years where we're being developed into the people that we will become ultimately. And I'm sorry, I did not know that you went through molestation. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
And
that's a healing, you know, all in itself, just getting from that place. And with you being married, did your husband help in that healing process? Or how do you think you became healed from that place of,
and so,
just
within that journey, Sherry, of just evolving and growing. And so here's the turning moment, right? I was functioning you know, as an adult, you know, doing my thing, going to work, because I knew I had to go to work. And a lot of times we can find ourselves functioning in the midst of our dysfunction, but we're not fully living. We're not fully free in what God has called for us to be free in that abundance of life and that abundance of living, you know, so you don't fully show up.
That's
right.
True.
And I played small. I dimmed my light. I lived through people and, you know, was addicted to people pleasing and, you know, all of that stuff because I lacked understanding in my vision in reference to who I was. So, the turning point came some years back in 2009, girl. I'll never forget this day. I was actually fairly newly married, almost a year. And here it is in this moment in time. As a married woman, I still had some baggage in my heart, girl.
Yes.
You know, I still was dealing somewhat subliminally with that negative baggage, with that negative experience. And I was tired of struggling, tired of fighting with that, and I wanted to be free. And I remember this day like it was yesterday, Sherry. Driving my car, tears streaming down my face, and I heard God speak to my heart so loudly because you're sitting here and you're talking to me. And I heard God speak to me, and
what
he said, you can walk around this mountain for the rest of your life, and you'll lose everything. You lose everything. You lose your marriage. You'll never have your kids. You'll never write the book. You'll never travel. You'll never live your life. Or you can choose life and you can live.
My God.
You can choose life and you can live.
My God.
You can choose life and you can live. And I knew, freshly marrying this man, God bless me with. You know, and
a
here
kingdom,
we're
man.
In the process of building a life and a vision. And here was an opportunity, a moment for me to embrace something new, but I had to discard and let go of the old.
And
there
that's
was
the
no
process.
Way in the world. Yeah, yeah. And so there began my process. Tears streaming down my eyes. I said, God, I want to live. Yeah. I want to live. And there began my healing process. And God sent his word and healed me. And there began the process of that surrender. And so like you were talking about, the power of my yes, the power of yes.
And God gave me that.
That daily surrender. That daily surrender. That daily surrender. Of saying yes to letting go of what was so that my hands can be free and I can embrace, fully
and
embrace
through your journey,
of what was mine now.
Through that journey, is that where God led you to work with women, to reach out to other women? And how will you help them heal? Like, because, you know, you're not the only person that molestation has happened to. And, you know, just like I've said with the last call, I've prayed for certain people to be on this call. And so I'm sure that even just someone who's listening now or someone who will listen in the future has been where you are or where you have been. And they may not be in the place that you are where you're walking in wholeness now. Is there anything that you can give to them that, you know, just one piece of advice that would help them in seeking God for their healing as well?
Number one, I had to forgive myself.
Yes.
I had to forgive the offender, right?
Yes.
I had to say yes to the journey of surrendering and not really knowing what the outcome would look like, but I'm trusting God, right, in the process. And that as I'm saying yes every day to surrender and trusting God in my process, I'm leaning into his word and allowing the word of God to transform me from the inside out. I came to this understanding that I'm nobody's victim.
Amen.
I'm not a victim to my circumstances.
Amen.
But the word of God tells me, right, that I am more than a conqueror. And greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. So how I changed my life? I changed my life when I began to confess his word and believe that it was so and that it was my portion, that it belonged to me. So I would look myself in the mirror, and I would, hey, I'm nobody's victim. My future is bright. My best days are right up ahead of me. So I would say removing that label, because labels limit. Labels limits us. Remove that label of victimization and begin to see yourself as that victorious woman, because, one, you survived it. And if you look up the word survivor, it says a person that survived something where it may have killed others. And there are a lot of women that didn't survive the fire.
And but taking, we're your standing, power right? back. Taking your power back. Because we're all victorious. We all have what it takes to move into our next level. We all have healing inside of us. God is waiting for us to ask him, God, will you help me? Can you do it? Because this is a little bit too much for me. I can't handle this stuff. Could you take some of this?
Yeah.
Just take it. And the wonderful thing about God is when you give him a little bit, he'll take bits and pieces, and he'll keep taking bits and pieces until one day you're healed or you're close to healed, and he gives you his peace. He said he will give us peace that passes understanding.
Yes.
Other people will look at you and say, I know what you went through. I don't know how you're walking around like that. I don't know how you're walking around with everything that you have on you, and you haven't had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
But that's God's love. He grabs us, he takes us, and he rebuilds us.
Yes.
And then the rebuilding process, a lot of times, is where he's going to start pushing you out into the deep.
Yes.
Time to cast those nets on the other side, because now that I've healed you, you're going to have to go and do the same thing for other women. So God bless you. I did not know that. I didn't know that even when I sent you the questions. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you,
totally.
Thank you so much.
You know, and I was thinking, I'm like, wow, you know, in reference to brokenness, and that was like a broken season in my life, that moment that God allowed me to grow through, that experience that brought me to this place of where I am now.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And like how you're saying, the regaining of my power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I have a voice, and that my voice is valid, and that I am powerful, you know?
Your voice is
and that
very
I am
powerful.
Capable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the significance of healing is so, it's powerful in its own right. It's moving into places that you never imagined for yourself. Healing is setting you free to be the person that God called you to be, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like thankful for that drive home that day. When I committed a yes to my surrender, and I began to walk out that journey of my healing. It didn't happen overnight for me, but as I surrendered, and now beginning to see the fruit of that, the significance of my healing beginning to manifest itself, you know, through opportunities like this to meet new sisters and connecting and sharing and talking about our faith and just our journey in God, and the opportunities to talk and to teach and to coach other women.
Exactly. And I was telling someone a few days ago, I was like, just the people that God is connecting me with in this season, I am just so thankful. Because you can have really great friends and really great relationships, but when you meet kingdom people, oh my God, it's like it takes on its own life. The first time that I talked to you, remember, we kept texting each other that night. It was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad I met you. Oh, my God, it feels so good to talk to another Christian woman. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have that feeling, that sisterhood, that place where we can be safe to share our testimonies and to be who he called us to be without judgment, without anyone hating, because we're all in this journey together.
Amen.
You know, and someone praying for you for you to get to the place that you need to be. So, yeah, that's good stuff. I do want to ask you more questions. I kind of got talky. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You know, this is what we
do. What are, like, you're a mother, you're a wife,
yep.
you're a motivational speaker, you're a life coach. you do it all.
Oh, my gosh.
What are some of the, I guess, some of the significant things that have changed your life? You know, it can be positive or negative, you know, even outside of the molestation, just things that have motivated you or pushed you even further into the woman that you are. Because power is, I don't even know the words to say, but power is just, it's power. And so if we could all get to that place of power, it's where we've snatched our freedom.
I would say some things, well, one would have to be my husband. He is my relationship, my marriage to him. That is my life partner. That's my covenant partner. Like, we're doing life together. We're doing this journey together. And, you know, Sherry, what I discovered in this relationship, and I think you mentioned this to me, but, you know, I kind of got sidetracked. Sorry. But he loved me through that.
Yeah.
He loved me through that season.
And it takes a special type of person to love you.
Yeah.
Even in pain.
Yes.
There's so many people who will run from your pain.
Totally.
Or they think it's too big of a job.
Yeah. Yeah. So him coming into my life, God placing him in my life, he, such a blessing to me, you know? And that is, I enjoy the married life. I mean, hey, it has its challenges. But we're living life together and we're doing this life.
You said something on the phone with me the first day that we talked, and you said that because you married a kingdom man, he can tell when things of the enemy arise. So, you know, sometimes in marriages, people have to fight, but if you have that covering, I believe, even though I'm not married, I believe, from a kingdom man, you know, that's the head, that's the leader, that's the person who's going to help get the family as a whole to where it is that you need to be.
Yes.
So I think that's power, all of it.
And, you know, like what we were talking in reference to being a kingdom is just a vision, you know, having that vision for the marriage, the family, the life.
Yeah.
And just one that he's not a perfect man, but he is a man that's after God's heart, you know. But he's perfect for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's perfect for me, you know. But he's a man after God's heart. He's a man that seeks to be obedient to God and to lead his family and to love his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kingdom man, you know, that's about God's business and helping others and being a leader and an influence in his community and local church and all that stuff. But in reference to when it comes to home, like how you said, they're the leader, you know, the priest. And, you know, we stand together and we dream together. We cast a vision together. We pray together. You know, we're doing life together by the grace of God, you know.
And that's what it's all about. You know, if you have to be with someone for the rest of your life, you want to make sure that that person has a vision for both of you, not just themselves, you know.
Correct.
So that's beautiful. I love it.
Correct.
Aww.
Correct.
Okay.
Because he is the big push behind me, you know, pushing me, you know, about the book and the ministry and this. So,
and, you know, he sees what's in you. He sees what's in you.
Totally.
That's beautiful. And tell us about the book. What does the book entail?
Oh, yes. So.
When does it come out?
It comes out the end of March, early April. So my devotional is a 21-day devotional, and it's entitled Arise.
Amen.
And one of the things that I discovered in my journey, in my process of healing, and just transitioning on from a place of brokenness, you know, and all of that stuff to thriving and being whole. Affirmations and the power of the spoken word was something that really helped me along my journey, you know, because I had to, number one, attack my thinking, you know. I had to change the way that I told my story, you know, because I'm not a victim. So I had to tell my story from a place of being one that's victorious. And so anyway, affirmations was something that I created. And, oh, my gosh, like, Cherub, I have them on my wall and my, you know, have a little one in my bathroom, in my car. At my place of business, in my cubicle, you will see, you know.
You sound like me. Oh, my God. When I say on my bathroom mirror, at my last job, I had sticky notes all up under the keyboard. So if my keyboard ever got moved out of position, people were like, what's going on down there? Like, me and God, we were talking about what's going to happen in my life through these sticky notes. So if anyone doesn't know what affirmations are, they are just quotes, I am statements that you write down, that you post someplace that you will see on a consistent basis. They are tools that if you look at them on a daily basis, things will begin to manifest in your life. If you begin to pray on them on a daily basis, they will also begin to manifest in your life. And when you write down your affirmations, it could be just simple things like, I am whole. I am blessed. Mm-hmm. I am moving into the direction God has for my life. It doesn't matter what it says. Whatever you feel like is the direction that your life should go in, write it down. Put it on the mirror. Put it like Gabrielle Union. What's the name of the show? Being Mary Jane. She had them everywhere. Just put them where you will see them. And I promise you, if you don't do this already, they will encourage you. And also another thing, get a notebook and write down how you feel about things. Start to journal about what it is or where it is that you want to go in life. If you feel like you need to be healed, start writing letters to God to ask him to heal you.
And that was something. So this 21-day devotional, it's 21 days with affirmations to jumpstart your morning. I believe that how you set the pace of your day, how you start the day, how you start your day sets the pace for your day. So getting up and just, you know, setting your morning straight by commanding the word of God over your life. And like how you said, the I am's, and that was something that really, really helped me. And it was so funny, right, that what you said about the sticky notes underneath the keyboard. Oh, my goodness. Like, I had tons of them. I had tons of them, like, all over the place. So, and it's just something about the recalling and the meditating and, you know, being able to visualize it and see it. So.
And you know what, LaToya, sometimes you find that stuff right at the right time. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had some of my sticky notes at my last job in notebooks. So I would be flipping through the notebooks looking for other stuff, and I would see, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something I may have had printed in there. I don't know, I'm going to the next level. I would flip, and it'd be like at the right time when I needed to see it, you know? So just write it down. It's so important. It's so important.
Oh, yes.
But, I'm excited. I'm ready to get your book. It's going to be
good. Yeah, me too.
I can't wait to pronounce over my morning for 21 days. Yeah, and that kind of reminds me of the Joel Osteen book. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was like 30 Days of Declaring, I Declare. And that was a really good book, too. But back to healing. I'm sorry, we kind of got off on a tangent.
It's all right. You know how we do. It's okay.
I know. It's okay. What do you feel the process of healing should do in our lives? Like, what are the things that we should look for I guess, so to speak, when we're going through the healing process?
The things that you should look for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the beginning for me, it was a unraveling of
mm-hmm.
self-limiting beliefs in the way that I saw myself in a negative way, just a low level of thinking.
Mindset,
and then beginning
yeah.
to embrace the truth of God's word and what the word of God says about me and how I am powerful and I'm
yeah.
not a victim. And
yeah.
so coming into and embracing my new identity, you know, in God and embracing the fact that I am that woman, I can be that woman, I can be whole and I can thrive in my life, I can blossom, I can bloom.
Yeah.
So it's just that process of just growing and evolving. And you know, Sherry, and the fact of the matter is, well, for me, you know, it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It's a journey. It's
Lord
a journey.
Knows it's a journey. And sometimes
it's
a long journey.
Yes.
Like I was telling Tanya, you know, my
yeah,
wilderness
my
season was years.
Mm-hmm.
It was years, yeah. but it was God breaking me of me.
Yeah.
And showing me that, hey, I really do have your back. And even if I have to take everything from you and totally tear your world apart, I want you to know that I have. So, yeah, I'm going to take everything. All of it.
Wow.
And you're going to have to rebuild. But when you rebuild, it's going to be with me. And I appreciate God for that because it was a process. And, like I said, it was some years, and it was needed. It was needed in order to get me to where I am now.
But you know what, too? And I don't mean to cut you off, but just this one point.
Fine.
I was listening to you. It's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered, like, in that time, just the comforts with an S, like, levels to God's grace while I was going through that, growing through that.
Yes.
That his grace was sufficient. His grace is sufficient. So we'll discover in that process that God, like how you said, God has you. And he's going to love you through it. He loved me through it to let me know that, hey, it's for your best. I'm trying to pull something out of you. But we have to get rid of this stuff, you know, because this is not of me. This is not who you are. This was something you experienced that's going to help others. That's not who you are, you know? So,
and he shows us what love is. I remember one of my guy friends told me years ago, I had to be in my 20s, and I won't tell y'all how old I am. I'm telling my age. But he told me years ago, he said, you know, Sherry, because I was dating, you know, 20-year-old dating, just dating anybody. And he was like, a man can't truly love you until he loves God. And I didn't understand that. And I thought about that yesterday, actually. And I was like, the same is true for me. Like, I wasn't in a place set up to love someone because I didn't love God. God is love. So unless you love God, you can't really properly love someone else, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I thought about that yesterday. I was like, I'm going to say that on the show because he was so right when he said that. And now that I meet kingdom men, even if they're not my husband, they treat me differently than the guys that I used to date in my past.
Yeah.
Even if we aren't supposed to be together, they care for me in a way that's of kingdom fellowship because they care about people in general. Because they are loved, because they're kingdom men. You get what I'm saying? Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so I really thought about that yesterday. I was like, that is good stuff.
Oh, and you know what else? If we flip side it to, like, us as sisters, as women, that loving God and loving ourselves.
That's so true.
How can we truly, fully love people until we love who we are?
That is
until we
so
love
true.
Who God has created us to be, you know?
That is so true.
And then that love, it just overflows from your heart because you love yourself and you love God. You love who God created you to be and who you are. And that love just overflows. It overflows from your heart to people.
That is so true.
You know?
So
true. That's good.
Yes, indeed. That's real good. That is real good.
Kingdom, man.
Yes, it's a whole nother level of man. If y'all don't have a kingdom man, go check it out. Go check it out. Okay, I'm sorry. We keep. Okay, though, because it's good conversation. Why do you think wholeness is a key to living a fulfilled life? And, like, sometimes we attract dysfunctional people.
Yes.
Some people are in dysfunctional marriages even, or, you know, just marriages where they may be in a marriage and they may realize that maybe this isn't the person that I'm supposed to be with, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say the wholeness, to answer your question, I feel like operating from a place of wholeness and just healing within yourself and within your life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, it's like your vision.
Yes.
It's clearer. You know, you're more attuned, you're more attentive, you're more aware, and you're operating from a healthy place, basically.
That's,
you know,
so true.
You're operating from a place healthy mentally, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
spiritually. I didn't say a perfect life, you know, because
yeah.
we all have, you know, our stuff, but just from a place of healthiness, and
yeah.
that you're able to perceive and discern things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, you know, some dysfunction that's going on in your heart and in your life, what I discovered over my
out
life
too. Like
yeah,
it
seeps
see it.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seeps out, and you begin to attract basically what you
what
are,
you
kind of like, you know,
mm-hmm.
what you're going through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a season in my life where my dysfunction within myself, I was attracting dysfunctional people, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense, because we were kind of like feeding off of each other in a way, you know.
That's true.
And
can you tell
yeah.
us how you met your husband? I know you told me on the phone that night, but you just, my little single heart, you just inspired me so much. I was like, yes, there are kingdom men who are purpose-driven with vision for their lives, who see their woman and know it. Yes, tell me about it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, my goodness. No, why you have to tell the story?
I'm
like, I'm that's
sorry.
Like.
It's such
you
an
good.
Amazing story.
You know what? I discovered from that moment in my life, just an in-depth, greater understanding in reference to the power of prayer, the power
yeah.
of prayer,
yeah.
you know, and how prayer is powerful, and that we can, you know, seek God, you know, in our singleness concerning our mate to pray, you know, pray and ask God for discernment, pray and ask God for clarity, and God will speak to you.
Yes, he will.
God will speak to you, because you're talking about when two come and they, when two come in and they become one, it's a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's sacred. It's holy when a
that's
man and a
true.
Woman come together and they become one flesh.
That's
marriage
true.
Is honorable in the Lord's sight, right? So
mm-hmm.
me and my husband, we met in church. And you know, I used to see him, you know, around, whatever, but I had my long list. You know, single woman, there were certain things I wanted, certain things I wanted, you know. And I just thought he was a nice guy, you know, just a nice guy, always there, faithful and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I would see him around and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it would be a joke between me and some of my other sister friends and stuff like that. We would joke around and, you know, how we go, oh, girl, look at Jackson, you know, he looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, girl, no, he's not. He's my list. They got to do this and this and this. And, well, after maybe like a year or two, I began to say, you know what? Texas is a nice looking guy, you know,
yes.
nice, you know, and you know, he's always to church and he's bringing his mom with him every Sunday and everything,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's just faithful, you know, that kind of stuff or whatever. And so one day I was talking to my pastor and I said, Texas is a nice guy. And he was like, yeah, you know, he is a nice guy. I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, I joke around or whatever, but he's a nice guy. And so he said to me, he was like, wow. I said, you know what? I think I would like to have a man that's like him. And so he was like, well, why don't you just pray about it and just, you know, see, you know. I was like, okay, yeah. So, you know, we'll go around the church and, you know, he started hanging around. We'll have, like, youth functions. And, you know, we're talking in between
uh-huh.
times and passing and speaking briefly and everything. And not knowing, not knowing that my husband had been praying for me for a whole year.
Wow.
But he never approached me. He never said anything to me. He never said anything to me in reference to giving me signs that, hey, girl, you know, let me get your number, you know, da-da-da-da. So unbeknownst unto myself that he had already had this conversation with my pastor concerning me a year prior.
Wow.
And saying, he went to my pastor and said, I believe Toya is my wife. God told me that Toya is my wife. And basically the pastor's response to him was, well, you know, if that's what you believe, you know, Tex, how about we pray and let's seek God for a direction concerning that, you know, and let's see what God says. Let God speak to her. So this whole time he knew that Tex was praying for me and, you know, and you know, he was seeking God for a direction and everything like that. And so lo and behold, within it, you know, yes, sort of having like, you know what? He is a nice guy and nice looking. And so when I told my pastor about it and my feelings began to change for him, the more we hung out in church and just in passing and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? I began to feel my heart pulling towards Texan as if he was my mate. But I'm like, wait a minute now. This can't be because my long list don't match what my list say now, you know. This, it don't
the
look
list,
like this.
Lord. You know, I don't even have a list. I'm like, God, whatever you want. Just don't let him be ugly, Lord.
and Sherry? I turned down my plate and I sought direction. I seek God and God spoke to me. He said that he is your husband. That's your husband. And it was just, it's an amazing thing. And I mean, you have to hear his side. Of course, he's not going to try to tell his side all with the flowers and everything, but you know, whatever. But yes, and there began our journey, and we just began courting and dating and just spending more time together once I, you know, confirmed it with my heart and where I was. And I went to my pastor and his wife at the time, and I'm like, that God spoke to me, you know. And so we began courting and dating, and then within a year, we ended up getting married, and the rest is history. So this year, we'll be celebrating 9 years of marriage. So.
I heard someone say this week, they said that, I can't even think of his name, he's a preacher, and I was listening to him and his wife. They go out and talk to single people about making sure that they're in kingdom relationships, but they were saying this week that they did a poll on Facebook and asked men how long did it take for them to know that their wife was the one, and they said every single case, it was a year or less. Like the men said, they knew. They knew right then. And I was like, wow, that's an amazing stat. That's something that that's good to know. That's like, okay, I'm taking notes, Jesus.
Yeah.
I am taking notes.
Yes, there's power in prayer.
There is.
You hear me? And God will reveal. He will order your steps.
And praying,
I'm so glad.
Even with healing and with purpose, and evidently with our divine mates too. So
yes. So it all aligned. It all intertwined into each other, and I'm so thankful that I was obedient to that, you know. And I discarded that list, girl.
I'm glad you were too. So when does the book come out?
Oh,
or do you have a date that you?
Not actually, it's the end of March, early April.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll be looking out for it. And you guys, if you do not follow LaToya, please go follow her on Instagram. Will you give them your Instagram hanger?
Yes, I will. Okay, so you guys can follow me on Instagram at coach_me_LaToya. That's Coach Me LaToya. And my Facebook also. My Facebook is Coach Me LaToya.
Cool. That's good stuff. I wanted to get you to do that because you're so powerful and just needed in so many women's lives. So, you know, always share where people can find you at. But LaToya, with everything that you've been through, just your life journey, the molestation, the brokenness, you know, in the process with choosing the wrong type of men even before you got married, would you do it all over again? And I'm not molestation is a hard one.
Right. So I would say some things no.
Okay.
And then I would say that even though that experience took place in my life, that it molded me into being the strong woman that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the scripture because we're faith women, right? We're women of
mm-hmm.
the word. So Romans 8:28, that
yes.
all things work together for the good to them that love God.
Yes.
To them that love God. You know, so whether you experience trauma or criticism or disappointments or a lost
mm-hmm.
job or whatever, God can work it together for our good.
Yes.
And I discovered, girl, depths of his love, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered it, you know.
And
love broke my fall. So.
There are no words to describe it, but it's almost like
yeah.
God has his
yeah.
arms around you.
Yes.
And no matter which way you move, even if you mess up, even if you make
yeah.
a mistake, even if you fall short, he's
mm-hmm.
right there saying, come on,
yeah.
I got you. It's okay.
Yeah.
I got you. Come
yeah.
on back home. I got
right.
you.
Right.
yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
What are three or maybe a life lesson? What would you tell the little girl who was going through molestation, if you had something to say to her now, what would you say?
I would say to her that God sees. That God
mm-hmm.
sees her.
Yeah.
And that even in the midst of that horrible situation or that trauma, that God can work it out for the betterment of your good.
Yes, he can.
And that you're not a victim. And you know, Sherry, what I learned, that chapters 1 through 10 may not have been my best chapters,
mm-hmm.
but I can have an amazing ending.
Yeah.
I can have an amazing ending.
Yes, you can. Oh,
I learned
so
that.
Good. That is so good.
And that's
and
the power God gave us, you know?
That is the power. He will
mm-hmm.
give us back beauty for ashes.
Yes. yes, 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 absolutely.
And if you could, just life lessons in general, what are just three life lessons that, because I know you're a motivational speaker, so I need to hear it.
Okay.
What are three life lessons that, you know, you just want to leave us with, or just three, even if it's just from a healing standpoint or motherhood
mm-hmm.
or a wife standpoint, just anything you can think of that just would leave like little love nuggets for us or little love nuggets for the brokenness in people in general.
Okay. So I would say for the brokenness,
mm-hmm.
since that's what we're talking about, you know, from broken to healed, right?
Yes. Yes.
I would say that broken does not mean that you're beyond repair.
Amen.
Broken does not mean that that we are beyond repair, whatever that situation may be or what you are experiencing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that it's an opportunity to embrace something new, that if you give it to God, right, you hand
mm-hmm.
it over, you surrender it, he'll give
and
you something new.
And it's a transition
new.
Process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my second one, let's see, for the mamas, because I'm a mama. I have a 4-year-old toddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the little ninja, girl. Jeez, I love him.
And they're karate chopping, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Girl, that's my baby. So I would say for mamas to extend yourself some grace. Grace, mm-hmm. you know, and I had to tell that to myself a lot, you know, just extend some grace to yourself. You know,
yeah.
and just take it one day at a time, and that
day
is okay, you know.
And there is not
the dishwasher.
A manual on being the perfect yeah. parent, not for your child anyway, you know.
Absolutely not.
All children are different. They all have different personalities, so you have to love them
yep.
from their personality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the third one, you said I have three, so one more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I can't think of anything.
I would say also
that when it comes to, let's say, in reference to business, so we're talking about God and relationships and business. So business, you know what I was thinking today? But I would say do not get frustrated with the process.
Yes.
So that you don't end up aborting the promise. So that you don't end up aborting the dream or the idea or the season that God has called for you to cultivate. You know, that process of your shaping and molding or your process of writing the book or starting the business or implementing the idea. Do not get frustrated in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the middle is where the work happens, like how we were talking earlier. People don't see behind the scenes. They just see the flyers and, you know, all of that stuff, but they don't see the work that goes behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So don't get frustrated in the middle of that. And carry it through.
That is so true.
That's so true.
And we're all works in progress.
Yes.
And the transition process is, you know, just a guarantee that we're moving, that we're progressing.
Amen. Totally.
And, there's so many stages of transformation, you know, just realigning and shifting and renewing your mind, renewing your spirit, being made whole, moving out of the caterpillar stage, so to speak, into the butterfly stage, you know.
Yep. And you know what, sister? It's all imperfect.
It is.
It's messy,
indeed.
Right?
Yes, indeed. And I'll tell a story. This happened to me probably last spring. I came outside. I was on my way to work, and I saw a caterpillar on the ground. And so I was getting into the car, and LaToya, I opened my car door and went all around. You know how you take the wheel and you turn it really hard so that I would not run over that caterpillar that was on the ground. And I was like, because you have to turn it to a butterfly. And that's the process I'm going through right now, is God is about to make me cocoon myself. Woo! I was in a cocoon last year so that he could make me a butterfly this year. And I would not, if anybody was outside, they probably wonder what I was doing, because I went all out of my way to make sure that I did not run over that caterpillar, because I knew it had to go through a transformation, and I felt like I was that little caterpillar that was on the ground just inching, you know, up to where it wanted to be. But
so you could totally relate.
Yes, I'm the butterfly.
Wow.
Coming out of the shell, yes. So, yeah, it's a process, and you know, transformation is tough at times, but it's also good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And let me look to see if we have any callers.
Okay.
Questions? I don't see any at the moment. Let me see.
Okay.
Let me go to... No, I don't see anyone who wants to ask questions. Love you, LaToya, so much. I really, really, really appreciate you just taking time out of your schedule. And
yes.
Do you have any speaking events coming up? I don't know where everyone is, but just coming up that you want to tell anybody about?
As of right now, no, but my calendar is open.
Okay.
But what they can do also with follow me on my social media handles, they can connect with me on my website as well as www.latoyamolton.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, subscribe and add to the emailers list and everything, and definitely keep them in the loop to what's happening and what's moving and shaking and stuff like that.
And I saw something on your website last night, and it was it was like a step brochure or something that you were advertising. What is that?
Yes. Actually, yesterday I released my 10 ways to arising and unleashing your potential. So this is the year I just believe that God is just calling for us to rise up. You know, and to rise to the occasion in life, to whatever he's called for you to steward and to cultivate, whether it's your business or your marriage or just life or whatever it is, but rising to the occasion.
Testament. Tessa, he has been calling me out this year, and I'm just like, okay, God.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Yes.
Even when I don't want to do it, you know, sometimes we have a little battle of wills, but.
Yes, yeah,
you know,
totally.
Tessa, he has to remind me, like, okay, you just finished a book called The Will to Move.
Wow.
Like, you gonna battle me? My will? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's coming to an abrupt end, and he's having his way at all times.
So amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah.
So, yes, that 10 ways to arriving and unleashing your potential. This is the year. So let's rise to the occasion, and let's unleash our potential and walk into all that God has called for us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you again, love.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I know.
Much fun.
I appreciate you so much just for being here and for sharing your story and for motivating us and encouraging us in our power and walking and letting us know that we are not the victim and that we are victors. And,
yes, we are.
Yes. So thank you
for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime. You're a friend of the show now, so you have to come back.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
And let us know everything that's going on with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, we will end the call. I still don't see any callers right now at the moment. So we will go ahead and end the call. And you guys have a blessed night. I guess we'll end the call with prayer. And just let God have his way, as he always does. And Father, thank you. Thank you for LaToya. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you for her life. Thank you for the power that she brings forth in her delivery as a speaker, as a teacher, as a woman of God who is here to help and move us into the position that you would have us to go into, Father. Thank you for her encouragement. Thank you for her life. Thank you for the callers that called in, God. Thank you for delivering a message to someone tonight through this platform. Thank you for moving in and out of season, even when we don't think we're broken, for moving us into the places that you will have us to go. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen.
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 Amen. So, thank you, Sherry.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have a wonderful night.
You too. Have a good night, ladies. Bye.
Okay, bye.